Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 182 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. So in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Ellen Marie Bennett from Headley & Bennett. You probably have seen their aprons all over the place. They have the little ampersand on them. They're amazing quality, awesome design, but now they're not just an apron company, they're a culinary brand, and we get into Ellen's story, and you're going to love Ellen. And it's 30 minutes long, but it feels like it's 2 hours long because she packs so much information, not because it's slow, but because there's so much in it. She grew up in Los Angeles. She's Mexican and English. When she was around 17, she moved to Mexico City. Then she went to culinary school, and she went in through the back door at Providence, which is a 2-Michelin-star restaurant, and Lazy Ox at the time. But as she was working, she realized that the garments they were wearing were shabby, and they didn't exemplify a fine dining restaurant, or it didn't make you feel great in what you were wearing. So she had this dream and she had this vision, and she pushed on with it and created an apron company, a small apron company. And it's grown to what it is today, with Martha Stewart seeing it and realizing that it's pro grade, but also looked really, really good. And there's a lot of barbecue people wearing her stuff. Billy Durney, Aaron Franklin, Burt Backman, Andrew and Michelle Moose Craft Barbecue, Sheldon Mason, who now works at 2M for Mason Barbecue. I can't tell you how much I love this company and how excited I am for you to hear this interview with Ellen. Make sure you check them out at headleyandbennett.com, Headley & Bennett on all the social media. She's Ellen Marie Bennett on Instagram, but also we talk about her pig, Oliver, Oliver's Pig Adventures. I'll put in links to all the stuff below. Thank you again, Ellen, for taking the time. I so appreciate it. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube channel is sponsored by Treaty Oak Distilling. You can check them out at treatyoakdistilling.com or Treaty Oak on all the social media platforms. Also, AJ's Custom Cookers. He's at ajscustomcookers.com and AJ's Custom Cookers on all social media platforms as well. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. You can find me at Kevin's BBQ Joints. I have a website, kevinsbbqjoints.com. My YouTube channel, if you're listening to this podcast only, it's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. In the end, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate it. Reach out. Let me know what you're thinking. But enjoy this. Good afternoon. How are you doing now, and how busy are you?
We're so busy, but I'm happy we got to squeeze in 30 minutes to chat with you. And we are freezing in our factory, which is why I'm wearing basically a parka.
And why are you freezing? Is it because of, do you guys have to keep it cold for any specific reason, or just
concrete? No, we just, you know, our factory is in Vernon, so that's in L.A. It's a 16,000 square foot factory, and we it's all cement, so it's very cold. But it's very fun. So if you're ever, around the neighborhood, you got to come and visit. We have a zip line and slides and a swing.
It's awesome.
It's very fun. And we have a big giant rainbow wall outside. But the inside of the building can be very cold because it's basically like an airplane hangar.
What was it before?
It used to be a screen printing warehouse.
Okay. So did you grow up in Los Angeles?
I grew up in LA. I'm an Angeleno. I was born in Glendale. And I'm half Mexican, half English. So my background is like proper and dignified, but then also totally running around the streets of Mexico barefoot playing soccer. So, you know, good combo.
Is that why you went to Mexico to get married?
Yeah, I used to live in Mexico City. Okay. And I spent a lot of time in Mexico when I was younger. And I love the culture, and I love how alive everybody is. And I just think it's such a beautiful place. I'm very proud to be half Mexican. So I tend to go a lot.
Okay. And I hate to say, because I've seen your Instagram story, so it's like I'm not a stalker. I just happened to see like your entire like wedding. Yes. It was really colorful too.
A lot of people saw that wedding. It was so much fun. It was the best day ever.
Did you go on a path towards working in kitchens, or how did you get into that world?
So I've always loved food. I've always loved cooking. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to be a chef. So when I was little, I decided that, and I would always cook for my mom growing up. And then when I was about 17, 18, I decided to move to Mexico City. I went to culinary school there, but I made a deal with my dad and I said, I will go to cooking school. You can pay for a less expensive program, and I'll study the restaurant management in a culinary school. And then I'll learn how to cook in real kitchens. And he was like, deal. So, you know, I was hustling even before I was hustling.
That's it's in your blood. So in your blood.
So I got, you know, my restaurant management degree. And then I went back to LA and I walked in through the back door of Providence and at the time Lazy Ox with Joseph Centeno. And I asked for a job, and I like kind of demanded a job. Let's be real. It wasn't exactly asking. I was more like, hi, I'm Ellen and I'm here for a job and I can do this great job. And they were like, what the hell? So then I got hired at those two spots and worked there for a while. And then while working there, I realized like, oh my God, our uniforms are the worst. They feel like shit and they look like shit and they're really just like
they were just washable, right?
It was just like nobody had ever thought about making a better garment for the kitchen. Like nobody had thought about workwear culinary world in a way that was thoughtful. And I'm a runner and I'm an athlete, and when I first decided that I was going to be an athlete, I went and got a great outfit that sounds slightly vain, but I don't mean it in a vain way. I mean
a proper
felt and looked the part. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you look the part like me right now, I could go sell ice cubes to Eskimos. If you look the part, you feel the part, and then you can execute, right? And so you had all these incredibly genius level artists and chefs in kitchens, and yet we were all wearing these bags of, you know, polyester cotton that didn't fit. They didn't look right. They didn't look good at all. Like, how are we ever going to execute at our highest level if we don't feel at our highest level? So that's where the essence of it came.
That's so fascinating, though. How do you turn that into an actual business? Like, and going into any kind of type of clothing business, it's not an easy thing. I don't think people realize. Right. Like, everyone's like, I'll make like a shirt business. Well, it's still not easy.
No, having a business is probably the most insane thing you could ever do. Like, close to, yeah, it's rough. Let's just say it's very complicated and difficult, but it's not impossible. And I think
for sure
anything amazing is usually complicated to accomplish.
Yes.
Period. Nothing fantastic is just like, oh, there it was. So for me, I think I had enough conviction that I wanted to do this that I didn't. I also didn't know what I didn't know. I was excited about making a product that was the best that it could be. Full stop. I wasn't thinking about HR and building
like to
and
this
insurance
point.
And workers' comp and all the other things that came later on, But when I started, it was just about the dream and the vision, and then I got going. And I think that that's what it takes. Is the first step is like deciding you want to do something, and then action follows it, and then planning. And you know, you find a happy medium between something that you truly love, but then also something that people actually need and that they have a desire for and all that.
And that there's a void in that specific area.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Like if there's 20 ice cream shops and you're deciding to go open another ice cream shop, like that's a different world. It's not impossible. There's plenty of other people doing that, but that was definitely not the case for me.
And so now did you sell at the Hollywood Farmers Market? Is that what I read, or is that how you did? Or did you start selling to fellow chefs?
It was a combination of a lot of things, but it was very old school. I would just talk to chefs and I would find them and I would go introduce myself and I'd say, you know, I'm working at Providence and I've started this thing. I'd love your opinion. I want to show you what I'm working on. And they'd be like, great, come show me. And then they would love what I had and I would collaborate with them. I'd really listen and see what were the things that were issues. So it was awesome because from day one, they were contributing to this thing that I had created, but really we were creating it together. So it was very community oriented versus just like, hi, I'm here to sell you a product. Like it wasn't
you didn't bring them. Yeah, this is like, you have to buy this or that's actually smart. I didn't realize that it was that custom and that specific at the time.
It was very custom in the beginning. And then we developed such incredible insight from all of these chefs telling us exactly what they needed, what they liked, what they hated, and that we developed a whole line. And then all of these chefs started to come up, you know, through the industry and started to be on television. And, you know, we came up with them. So, you know, some of our earliest customers were people that now are really famous chefs, but back then they were, you know, they were just coming up with us as well. And so that was really exciting. But then we also had people like Martha Stewart recognizing that, you know, we weren't just making an apron. We were making something that had like quality and value and it was pro grade, but it looked really good.
It does.
It's funny how pro grade.
Yeah, like I want people to see
good.
Like, yeah, like it's so the material. Yeah. So I want to get into the material.
Yeah. So, you know, we had a little bit of both. We had people climbing the ranks and then we had the superstar chefs also wearing our stuff. But, you know, this was like, this was out of the back of my car. There was nothing fancy about
and
this.
You were still at Providence too?
I was still at Providence. Yeah. I would take sales calls on my lunch break through Bluetooth in my car, and I'd be like, all right, gentlemen, it's great chatting with you. My team will get back to you with a quote. See you soon. And then I'd hang up and like run into the restaurant and, you know.
What was your team at the time? Was it just you and somebody else, or was it just you?
It was just me. And then I had this great guy named Jose, who's my first sewer. He worked with me for about a year, where him and I just like did aprons till the cows came home. And then one day he was like, I just can't do it anymore. I don't think I can make another apron one more time, because we went from doing, you know, like zero aprons to hundreds of aprons weekly, and he was still the only person making them. So it was just crazy.
How did you know how to price them too? Because I'm assuming that some people will watch this that are entrepreneurs and want to eventually open something. How did you have to figure out, or like a sweet spot that made sense? Or
I just asked a lot of questions, and I based it on like, okay, how long is this taking me? What are the materials I'm using? How do I mark it up? Okay, what's a wholesale cost? Well, if wholesale is this much, I need this much margin to make sure I cover my expenses. You know, I really had three jobs. So I wasn't taking a penny from the business. And I think that at the beginning, you know, you have to be scrappy. Like if you're starting something from zero, you're not trying to take a huge salary. Yeah. You know, I didn't have a salary for a while with Hedley & Bennett. And that was my choice, because I knew that every dollar I put towards the business was one more dollar that I was going to go forward.
So then when did it jump to I'm leaving Providence and I'm going to, and then did you get the facility at that same time, or was that?
No, I left Providence maybe like a year and a half into Hedley & Bennett, almost a year. It was closer to a year, I think. And at that point I had been cutting down my days and just trim until I literally couldn't do it anymore. And then I got my first 400 square foot office, because I had done it at my house and there were rolls of fabric everywhere. And it was just the hot mess, and my roommates at the time were like, you've overtaken our entire house. This is insane. So they sort of booted me out, even though I still live there. You know, they booted out my rolls, not me. And then I got my little factory of 400 square feet, and it was so tiny, and I still couldn't even pay for it myself. Like, well, I could pay for it myself, but my aunt had to co-sign the 400 square foot space. Wow. That was $400. We're talking basically a nice car payment. It was just crazy that they wouldn't give me the lease on my own, but whatever.
No, but that's the story. That's part of the story. Yeah. So then when did you start getting employees, and how does that feel? And how does that feel as you go along that road? Like, I know how it must feel now, or I assume, but how was that journey?
I think it's a really hard journey. It's a really hard journey because at first it's just a fun adventure. It's excitement. It's enthusiasm. It's like the sheer willpower will get you through. And you just can't even believe that people are going to give you their time and resources to build something for them. You're just like shocked it's even happening, right? So there's like a shock factor to it for a while. And then you start to realize like, my God, I need to have infrastructure, and I need to have people that know how to do the job. And this person that was my friend from high school maybe isn't the right person, but like, I still love that person. Like, how am I going to let go of that person, right?
And there's that's so hard. Emotional
turmoil you go through of going from like emotional business running to running a business like a business while not losing your heart and soul along the way. It's a happy medium you have to strike, and it goes, you know, I think the way you do it is trial and error and like feeling those feelings and then realizing, okay, all right, yeah, this is like a real company and you need to actually treat it as such. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like a fun adventure. And it, you know, it will forever be an adventure for me, but it's much more about the bigger picture now. And when I hire someone, I don't hire them because I, you know, like them or don't like them. I hire them because they're absolutely the right thing that the company needs. They're a culture fit. They have the skill set. They have the knowledge. They're going to bring experience to the team. Like, there's so much more that comes to it as compared to when I first started. It was just like, you're awesome. You're a warm body. You're friendly.
You're showing up. We need you.
Yeah, you're showing up. Great. Let's get to work. Like, that was a very different time.
How many employees do you have now?
We have a little little under 40.
Everything's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so actually we've expanded quite a lot on our channel. So we do stuff in Colombia now too.
Oh, cool, cool. I didn't know that.
Factory, okay. Our factory in LA makes our aprons, right? So our 16,000 square foot factory makes it. And then we have four other facilities in Los Angeles that make our chef coats, our work shirts, our, you know, other products, our knife bags. But no, direct employees are a little under 40. And then, you know, I would say another close to 30 people are directly working on our product in every other spot. So about 70 all in. Yeah. But, you know, it's like a small but mighty team, and they're producing so many units compared to what we used to. And, you know, now we don't even think of ourselves as an apron company. We're, you know, we're a culinary brand. And so the idea is that everything we make is pro grade, design driven, culinary essentials. So it's like everything you need and nothing you don't. And we're bridging the gap between the, you know, the professional kitchen and the home consumer. Because yeah, you could go to any old store and like buy a peeler, but like, is it going to be the best peeler? Well, you don't really know, because they're probably going to hustle you. If you go to Headley and Bennett, it's like, everything we offer is stuff that we legitimately know is the best. And, you know, on our website, we have all of our own apparel, but then we also have products that we stand behind that we sell on our site, like Jacobson Salt and Messermeister Scissors, and, you know, certain things that we have put our stamp of approval on.
Are you changing the style? Like, the core brand, like the core brand is shifting a little bit. Are you changing? Do you still have, how many aprons do you guys still offer? And I know it's not just aprons, but like, what are you changing?
Oh, no. I mean, aprons are still a huge portion of the business, and we outfit so many restaurants and chefs all over the world, like thousands and thousands of them. But now we also outfit so many home cooks. So we are selling direct to consumers online at a really rapid clip. And so they can buy our chef coats, our work shirts, our jackets, our aprons. You know, we have a lot of things called like smocks that are a little bit more lightweight, a little more like, you know, they look more Japanese, Scandinavian. They cross in the back. They're made out of linen versus our like hardcore aprons designed for chefs, but that people all over the place use. Yeah.
And then are you guys working on anything? Because I think I talked to Aviv about sustainability, and is that something that's...
Yeah. So one of our big, huge pushes this year is creating some automation within the company so that we can just be more sustainable across the board. And then also sourcing fabrics that are either recycled or reused, or it's material that uses less water. We just changed all of our packaging to recycled packaging. We're in the middle of getting bids on solar for our factory. Oh, wow. So we're really trying to have a smaller footprint on our little world.
Are there special things in 2020 for yourself? Are you coming out with a book? I want to think you're coming out with a book.
I am in the middle of writing a book. It feels like I've been writing a book forever. I've been writing a book for a year. Hopefully we'll be done in the next couple of months.
But it takes some time after that to get it come out.
It's funny to write a book when you're 32 about your life journey, because I'm like still in the middle of the life journey. Like, where does the book end? it's like my journey in a nutshell. And I think when I started this business, every book out there was... A lot of the books were written like by men, and of the books were written by people that were well over 32. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of being able to share my story, and by no means have I made it, but the journey that I've been on has been a really windy, insane, difficult, complicated, but wonderful road. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the road that everyone has to go down. And sometimes when you only see the shiny magazines, you think, man, how'd they make it? And like, they didn't even have to struggle. It's sharing and shedding light on what the journey is really like, and hopefully inspiring other people to like get out of their fucking seats and like get out there in life and just do it.
And that's why I like to do these, is because I want to find out how people did the journey, because a lot of people are in dark places too, where they don't think they can even get out of that place where they are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's possible. Yeah. Sometimes it just takes a complete mind shift.
Completely. I mean, if you think back to my decision when I said, I'm going to start Headley and Bennett, like I can do this. Or like when I decided to be an athlete, I decided I could do it. And then I followed up with action. But like the first choice was mine. I made that personal choice. So whoever is out there, it's like, the choice starts with you, and then you go out and do the stuff to line yourself up to be in a position where you can make that stuff happen.
Definitely. It's because this is a meat and barbecue type podcast in that world. What would you recommend for the barbecue? And like you're connected to barbecue people too, in a way. Like Robert Jacob Lerma, isn't he a partner?
Yeah, we have a ton of really amazing like pit masters and chefs and Aaron Franklin and all these amazing guys that where Headley invented. And I actually met Aaron Franklin at his cookbook launch several years ago at John and Vinny's restaurant in LA. And
I stormed right up to him. Oh, you had one there?
Yeah, I stormed right up to him as I do. And I was like, I'm from Headley and Bennett. This is my company. And I told him all about myself. And he was just like, oh my God, who is this lady? And he's been wearing Headley and Bennett ever since. So it's pretty, pretty special, especially because back then, you know, he wasn't nearly as famous as he is now. But yeah, like it's really cool seeing these incredible pit masters, Will Durney, you know, they love our product. They wear our product. Because it works and it's not just for show. It's really for use and for the love of the craft.
And these guys are wearing things because they work. Like that's the reason.
Exactly.
And they're only proud of things that they love. And it's like, Sheldon Mason always shows stuff. Burt Bachman. There's people. Yes. A lot of people that wear that love Moose, like Andrew and Michelle from Moose, they love, and it's nice too. And I'll show in this video, the YouTube version, I'll show some images of the actual, so the people see the ampersand, like so they know specifically.
Yes, our logo is very important. We outfit every show on the Food Network. This is our ampersand, so you see it on you know the apron. It's sort of around here, but it comes in lots of different colors. But yeah, so I recently got very, very, very into smoking, and Traeger sent me a smoker, and I've been smoking brisket, and you know, my husband's just like, what got into you? Like, I'll be up at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, you know, spraying apple cider vinegar onto my brisket and like,
and you're FaceTiming people. Yeah. I think it's awesome. No, I've seen some of your stories too along that way as the stalker that everyone is. But it's inspiring. It's great to see. It makes me happy because that same journey, people like Billy Durney he started out cooking on his deck in his apartment.
I'm literally cooking on my deck in the middle of Echo Park at 3 in the morning, but I'm so proud and I love it so much. And then I get to like bring my 15-pound brisket to the office and share it with the team. And they're so excited the days that I decide to bring in brisket. And, you know, sometimes I think people think, oh, well, you're a girl or whatever. I'm like, who gives a shit? Anybody can cook
a
brisket.
That's so sad. That's terrible.
I know. I'm like, I don't care.
Do you feed Oliver brisket?
I do not. Oliver, I have a pet pig named Oliver. You should follow him on Oliver's Pig Adventures.
I'll put a link there.
Yeah. And then mine is Ellen Marie Bennett, M-A-R-I-E. And my 200-pound pig lives at my house with me and my husband. Mm-hmm. And we have 6 chickens, but they're all vegetarian, the chickens and the pig.
And now how long have you had Oliver?
I've had Oliver for 4 years now.
What's it like having a pig? It's like, we'll end it on that. We'll end it on this.
You know, it's a funny thing owning a ginormous pig that kind of looks like a warthog. He's huge. He's ridiculous. He's grumpy, but he sleeps a lot. So he's kind of like a cat a little. And he's fully house trained. So he like poops and pees outside, but he loves to mow down our plants on the inside of the house. So we have to barricade certain house plants inside when he's in there with us. And he sleeps on the couch. That is his sleeping quarters. He sleeps on a beautiful room and board couch, which is a really nice, furniture company from Los Angeles that I can't even believe the damn pig sleeps on it, but it is what it is.
I used to sell high-end furniture in a past life, and I know that that would not be something that would make me do. But I, you know, it's your child.
He did it once, and we were kind of like, ooh, we don't know if that's a good idea. And then every night he kept doing it. We're like, okay, we fully got bamboozled by the pig.
You know what? Why not?
It is what it is now. Now I'm just like, all right, that's his couch.
And he's 200 pounds, so that's kind
of... He's huge. He fills 300... Probably 3/4 of the couch, he's filled.
Yeah.
When he's laying on it.
So people need to follow him because it's spectacular.
Like if I haven't sold the dream of Headley and Bennett, at least go follow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you don't care about Ellen me or Ellen, Bennett. Follow
We're
Oliver.
We're our own show.
Definitely. Well, is there anything we've missed for like upcoming things that are coming up that I just want to make sure I've covered everything because it.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say if you haven't heard of Hedley and Bennett, now you have. If you've seen the ampersand out in the world, the little ant
Yeah, I
sign
wondered
with the
why,
red
yeah.
patch. I mean, we're out there, and you got to wear us. And if you love cooking and you want to be a chef, or if you are a chef, like you should wear our product. Why? Because like we care about the people wearing our product, not just making great product.
Exactly. And what are the hours of the that they can visit?
They can shoot an email to orders at Hedley B, and we can schedule a tour for them to. And we usually do tours, during the week, all week, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Just email or call us. And you can also check out our website, hedleyandbennett.com. And that's HedleyandBennett.
Well, thank
It's
you.
so long. It's like a legal name, very lawyerly name.
Well, thank you again, and
Yes.
stay warm, and I can't wait to visit again.
I will. I'll stay warm in the igloo that is our factory.
This
Come
is,
visit us soon.
I will. Yeah, no, it's funny. I'm gonna send a photo of this to some people, and they'll be like, "Who are you talking to?" And I'm like, "It's Ellen." Take care. Have a
Who is
great
that
day.
under there? It's me.
All right, you take care. Thanks so much.
So much fun. Talk to you soon.
All right, great.
Bye.
Bye.